NPR.
Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, it's Friday, and Dan Hoost, the communications director from Sullivan County Government, is here to tell us what's going on in Monticello, including weekend events for Memorial Day and the D&H Canal Interpretive Center and Lake Superior State Park opening up this Memorial Day weekend. It is Memorial Day weekend, and officials are asking boaters and floaters to stay safe on the water as summer recreation season kicks off. We'll have safety tips from the National Canoe Safety Patrol, plus a fundraiser at the Delaware Youth Center in Calicoon, and more events at New Memories in Parksville, including a spring bazaar and more music, film. We'll get to all of it. But first, the news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The International Court of Justice is ordering Israel to immediately halt its military operations in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Judge Nawaf Salam is also ordering Israel to allow officials from the United Nations into the enclave.
Take effective measures to ensure the unimpeded access to the Gaza Strip of any commission of inquiry, fact-finding mission, or other investigative body mandated by competent organs of the United Nations to investigate allegations of genocide.
The ruling is part of a broader case brought by South Africa accusing Israel of violating the Genocide Convention. Israel is not expected to comply with the order, arguing that it has no choice but to attack Rafah to drive out the last battalions of Hamas fighters that it believes are sheltering there. Meanwhile, arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and leaders of Hamas are pending at the International Criminal Court. President Biden's re-election team is opening an additional field office in North Carolina today. Both Biden and Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, are expected to campaign heavily in the state in the coming months. Trump narrowly won North Carolina in 2020. In New York City last night, Trump made a direct appeal to Black and Hispanic voters in the South Bronx. Speaking in Crotona Park, Trump pledged to win back his home state while taking aim at his Democratic rival.
The simple fact is Joe Biden is not getting the job done for the Bronx. He's not getting the job done for New York, and he's not getting the job done for America. He is incompetent, ladies and gentlemen.
The state of New York hasn't gone to a Republican presidential candidate since Ronald Reagan 40 years ago. Stocks on Wall Street opened higher this morning after a big sell-off on Thursday. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow rose about 30 points in early trading.
Orders for long-lasting manufactured goods rose in April for the third month in a row. The Commerce Department says durable goods orders were up 0.7% last month. Orders for cars, computers, and defense products led the increase. The maker of UGG boots and Teva sandals had a very good quarter. Deckers Outdoors reported stronger than expected quarterly profits, and its stock price opened higher. Discount clothing chain Ross Stores also outpaced analyst expectations. Asian stocks were mostly lower overnight. Indexes fell more than 1% in Tokyo, Seoul, and Hong Kong, and just under 1% in Shanghai. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow up 46 points. This is NPR. The House has voted to ban non-citizens from voting in local elections in Washington, D.C. The legislation is unlikely to become law, but it's the latest vote from either the House or Senate that forces its members to be on record on election year issues such as immigration and the situation in the Middle East. NPR's Ashley Lopez reports opponents are calling the legislation a Republican-led effort to undermine the legitimacy of U.S. elections.
Voting by non-citizens is a rare occurrence, and it is already illegal in all federal elections in the U.S. In D.C., non-citizens are only allowed to vote in local elections, but Republican Congressman Clay Higgins of Louisiana said that practice is unacceptable.
D.C. residents should be confident
that their local government vote is not being diluted by non-citizen residents or illegal immigrants casting votes.
Supporters of this measure have not provided evidence of any meaningful number of non-citizens voting in U.S. elections. Democrats have called these efforts an election year distraction. Ashley Lopez, NPR News.
The NCAA and the five power conferences have agreed to a settlement that will pave the way to allow schools to pay student athletes. The $2.8 billion deal, if approved by a judge, would allow thousands of former and current players to be paid for endorsement and sponsorship deals dating back 8 years. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Indeed, designed to be an end-to-end hiring solution for businesses of all sizes to attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one platform. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Well, it's Friday, and every Friday we hear from Dan Hoost, Communications Director for Sullivan County Government. Joins us now live in our studio in Liberty. Took the trip up from Monticello. We appreciate it.
What a wonderful day to be out and about,
I
have to say.
Day. So, I know.
Do you get to see the sunshine at all? There's no windows in the studio here, just for folks who don't know.
There's no studio. So. There's no from my house to my car. I see. Look, sky. Yes. We are in our windowless soundproof studio here. But it's a lovely day. It's going to be a lovely weekend. Lots going on. Of course, Memorial Day weekend, and we want to make sure we talk about the Memorial Day events honoring our veterans that are happening this weekend, beginning, I believe, tomorrow. There's the big event for the county on Monday, but there are events all over starting tomorrow.
Most of the events are on Monday, but there is no prescription from the government or anyone to say you have to have it on Memorial Day itself. The important thing is that we give a little bit of our time, all of us, this weekend to just remember some of our deceased veterans and to pay tribute to them. You know, whether you believe in the just cause of war or you're a pacifist or whatever, these are folks who many times were just thrust into these situations through no fault of their own, through sometimes not even voluntarily, sometimes drafted. And I just look at it as something that is important to recognize their humanity, our shared humanity, and what they have given to folks in the name of freedom to really allow us to do what we're doing here right now, to speak freely about our government and the world at large. And I think that there should be more than just barbecues and fireworks over the Memorial Day weekend, that we should, whether it's a parade or a more solemn observance, that we should just show up and be a part of this very important community-wide series of events.
We were speaking to Mickey Useps from Wayne Tomorrow yesterday about the Memorial Day events in Wayne County. She echoed the same sentiment that it's not just about these barbecues. Please let's remember to take some time to honor these folks who gave their lives. Also highlighting that national moment of silence that occurs on Monday at 3 to take some time then at least to pause and remember. As you're remembering throughout the weekend, there's that official dedicated time at 3 o'clock on Monday. And as I mentioned, in Sullivan County, tomorrow in Mamikating at 9, there's a ceremony that's going to be held at the VFW post there. On Sunday, there's a ceremony at 2 in Lou Beach at the Beaverkill Valley Fire Department. There's the Tustin Highland Lumberland VFW post will have their cemetery ceremonies. And then Monday, more events, as we mentioned, in Bethel, Berryville, Eldred, Fremont Center, Grahamsville, Liberty, Livingston Manor, Long Eddy, Lumberland, Mamikating again, Monticello, Roscoe, and Wurtsboro. This is a list accumulated by the Veterans Service Agency in the county here. And, of course, there's the county service, which is at 1 that the Veterans Agency will be holding.
Yes, at our actual Veterans Cemetery that we have over on Sunset Lake Road in Liberty. It's a very moving place to be, especially on Memorial Day. But it's also just interesting to visit to see names that are probably familiar to folks. Also, there is an actual tank that sits at the top of that cemetery.
Okay.
That is open to the public. I don't think you can go inside it, but kids in particular, I think, will find it interesting. But from a young age, I was taught that we need to just give a little bit of time to this, and I certainly will be spending time on Monday, even though it looks like it might be raining on Monday. But I go to the Grahamsville Flag Exchange Ceremony, which is just a very unique, wonderful thing that they do over at the Grahamsville Rural Cemetery. They exchange a flag that's been flying since Veterans Day and then put one up that's going to fly from today, from Memorial Day to Veterans Day, in honor of local veterans. A very short but very moving and poignant service. Listen, just get to one of these. Our Veterans Service Agency worked really hard to compile this list. You wouldn't believe how challenging and complex it can be, because everyone has a different person in charge, and that changes from year to year. But we have, I think, about as comprehensive a list as I've ever seen. And we want that to be used by our folks.
And we have that on our website as well, wjffradio.org. Let's talk about the events that are happening also this weekend in terms of openings. Lake Superior State Park is open this weekend, as well as the D&H Canal Interpretive Center.
And Fort Delaware. I forgot to mention
Fort Delaware
as well.
Too, yes.
Yes, we have all these big openings going on. Listen, we want people to enjoy themselves this Memorial Day weekend, of course. So once you've had a chance to go to one of these ceremonies or observances, get to one of our local parks. Fort Delaware, of course, is our Museum of Colonial History in Narrowsburg, currently being operated by the Delaware Company, which is doing a fabulous job of really ramping up the visibility and the fun of what we have over there. I've been going there since I was a little kid. I love every time I step into those stockaded walls. It's a real interesting look at a 18th century fort. It's a recreation. It's not an original. However, we do have at our D&H Canal Linear Park a remnants of a 200-year-old canal that was the first million-dollar enterprise in America. And we have what I call a little museum. We call it our interpretive center, right on site there in Summitville, right next to remains of a lock and a waste weir and the towpath and that you can still hike. Some of the canal still exists with water in it. But this interpretive center has these really interesting and intricate dioramas of like the aqueducts, like the Roebling Bridge that everyone knows about, the oldest wire suspension bridge, that once carried water and boats over the Delaware River. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a way you can look at that up close in miniature, plus photographs, paintings, all sorts of interesting memorabilia from the canal days. And then, of course, we have Lake Superior State Park in Bethel, which is hugely popular. And this year, in addition to paddle boats, or actually pedal boats, I should call them, and rowboats, we have kayaks, which I'm told were introduced late last summer, were a huge hit, and we're looking forward to them really being used a lot this weekend. So, and it provides great employment for our young people as well.
Well, speaking of employment, there are the Emergency Services Youth Academy applications due coming up after the weekend, but at the end of the month, May 31st. There's also an in-person registration session happening. We talked about this a little bit before, but explain a little bit more about these opportunities for youth in emergency services.
Yeah, this is a novel way that we've just started. It's our first year of doing this to get more young people involved in our emergency services. Because you might hear, for example, our ambulance corps are really hurting for people. So are our fire departments. And of course, our police departments over time will need to fill their ranks again. So we want to introduce young people who may have even just a passing interest in this to what this is all about. And this Emergency Services Youth Academy is going to be held July 22nd through the 26th, each day from 9 to 3. It will be sort of, I call it an emergency services camp kind of thing. It's going to be at our training center. We have a building that you can set on fire there, but it doesn't burn up. And so we can repeatedly set it on fire. There are going to be trained professionals who are showing them how they do what they do, whether they're a police officer or a firefighter or a paramedic. And the whole idea is to stimulate interest and understanding and hopefully create some new volunteers and paid professionals who are going to be serving us in the years to come, because we all depend sooner or later on each one of these branches of the emergency services. But we need folks to sign up by May 31st. We do have one opportunity if you can't do it online by then. June 5th at the training center, which is 615 Old White Lake Turnpike in Swan Lake. will be hosting an in-person information and registration session from 5 to 7 p.m. So if you want to bring your kid to that and say, listen, let's talk to the people who are going to be putting this together first before we sign you up for this, that'll be available again on June 5th at our Emergency Services Training Center.
All right. We're talking to Dan Hoost, who's Communications Director for Sullivan County Government. We speak to him every Friday about events that are going on in the county and from the government in Monticello. Recently, I guess, just the other day, I noticed you guys put out this press release about the state grant process, the CFA process. And as someone at a nonprofit looking for grants, my antenna went up. But can you explain a little bit more about what the CFA grant process is? Sure. Sometimes I feel as if, and no offense to anyone who runs the CFA process in New York State, it can be a little confusing.
It can be. And you would think, because it stands for Consolidated Funding Application, that it would make everything easier.
Yes.
But I don't know. I feel like you. I think it's made things a little more challenging than they need to be. But, you know, it was a past governor who wanted to do this. So it's going to be what it's going to be. We got to work with the system. Listen, because it can be challenging and complex, our planning division, and specifically our grants administration section of our planning division, is like, listen, we'll help you every way we can. The only thing we can't do is actually fill out the grant for you. You've got to do that yourself. But we will give you every resource to figure out what you need to fill in a particular blank. So it's technical assistance in a way that is just marvelous. It's wonderful. These are great people. It's a small two-person department. It's Art and Jennifer, but they really know their stuff. I have turned to them in my other role as the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance Board President to ask questions. Actually, I've turned to them in my role as Communications Director for the county, too. They will help you whether you're a nonprofit, a for-profit, or a municipality. So they're there for everybody. If you're interested in gaining some state funding, they are your first stop resource for this. And I encourage you to get in touch with them before the CFA application deadline, way before July 31st, because that is a very hard and fast deadline. And you do not want to be working right up to the last minute on that unless you absolutely have to.
And the way New York State kind of works this funding is there are the different rounds of funding. And in this mm-hmm. round of funding, there is a large pot of money, $175 million in core capital grant and tax credit funding. Mm-hmm. And you can combine that with other programs from state agencies.
Yes.
So if you're a nonprofit or a business or someone who's looking for a grant opportunity, this is the time to like learn more about it. And thank goodness that they're there to help because we've already signed up for the information session because the application process for these can be somewhat challenging.
Oh, yes. But we're hungry. Our county and specifically our grants administration department is very hungry to increase the amount of grants that come our way from the state through this process. So, June 18th at 8:30 a.m., there's going to be an info session online only, Zoom only. You can sign up for that online at sullivanny.us. Either go to our grants administration department or look up our press releases where we have it. But also, you can just give them a call. You do not have to work behind a screen the whole time. They are eager to talk to you. It's 845-807-0471. That'll put you in direct contact with Jennifer, 807-0471. She is one of the nicest people we have working for us and also one of the most knowledgeable I've ever seen about grants because there are so many grants around. And listen, even if you're not interested in state funding, you just want to know what sort of the grant landscape is.
Yeah.
They are an awesome resource.
Yeah, it's good. And thank you to them for mm-hmm. offering this.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll have more with Dan, including a great honor for some local older New Yorkers. This is Radio Chatskill.
3 generations of a black family, all looking for their own version of freedom, face homelessness, white violence, and mental illness in the novel The Unsettled. Bestselling author Ayanna Mathis asks the question, is it even possible to be black and free? I'm Kai Wright, and next time on Notes from America, what it means and what it takes to be liberated. Sunday evening at 6, live on Radio Catskill.
At Camp Emmeline, it's the summer of a lifetime. On the next Selected Shorts, Edie Falco reads a unique coming-of-age story. I'm Meg Wolitzer. I hope you'll join me.
Sunday night at 7 on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. We are continuing our conversation with Communications Director Dan Hoost from Sullivan County Government. Well, we're going to talk about that honor for those older New Yorkers in just a minute, but got to talk about a couple of other things that we need to make sure people are aware of. The June primary and November general election, those dates, times, locations have all been announced.
Mm-hmm. We've put them up on our Board of Elections website, also put it up on our social media. We are going to be promoting that more as we move along here because there's going to be early voting for not just the primary in June. I think the primary is June 25th, if I recall correctly. I don't have it right in front of me.
I'm pulling it up.
But and then the general election, too, we've actually already figured out the early voting dates for that as well. So just put that up on the website. It's available there in English and Spanish. The early voting locations, of course, are going to be as they were before, the Government Center in Monticello. And our surprise hit new location, the Public Health Services or Department of Public Health building over in Liberty, near our social services building. It's on Community Lane in Liberty. That's been amazingly popular.
Yeah.
We've really worked hard, too, to let people know exactly where it is because you've got to sort of go into the complex and then go up around the hill to get to the building. But people have really found that to be convenient and useful. So we're looking to keep that open. Now, the primary, it's just really going to be a Republican primary for who's going to be the Republican candidate for our assembly seat that is being retired from by Aileen Gunther later this year. So there's already a Democratic candidate. She has no opposition, but there are two Republican candidates who are vying for the right to be on the Republican portion of the ballot in November. So Republicans will have a reason to be out, hopefully in force in Sullivan County, unless, of course, this always gets it confusing. If you're in the town of Fremont, the town of Rockland, or the town of Neversink, you are not in the 100th Assembly District. And so, and to my knowledge, there is no primary that is going to be there. So it'll just be in the other 12 townships of Sullivan County.
That's June 25th. You're right. As
it is
the primary election. Okay. Early voting begins on June 15th, and it's May 24th, so that's coming up.
It's coming up quickly here.
Very soon.
But that and there's a sample ballot up there. It's not much to see, but at least it gives you an idea of what, if you're a Republican going to vote in the primary, what you'll be seeing on paper.
And then also you've got the entire political calendar for the year, mm-hmm. including all of the deadlines for everyone that is either submitting an absentee ballot or when to apply, and of course all the dates and times for the general coming up in November.
And if you have any questions, just call our Board of Elections or stop by in the Government Center. They are there to help.
Also, a reminder that road crews are out and about, and they are working diligently to repair some of the road damage that's out there.
Yeah, this week I was talking to one of the folks that schedules our road crews, and he was telling me some horror stories about how people act around our construction sites, just being impatient or even reckless and dangerous. So I said, listen, I'll just put it out here. Now, JFF's audience, they're all responsible folks, so you just need to find the irresponsible people in your lives and tell them this message. These guys and gals sometimes fear for their lives when they're out there working or being flag people because drivers either aren't paying attention or are so impatient that they are driving past flag people because they're like, oh, I can see where I'm going. I'll make sure I'll miss anybody. Well, every year there are a few fatalities throughout the state. Thankfully, we haven't had any locally in a little while, but I want to keep it that way. I don't know if that's wrong. I think it's right, actually. Mm-hmm. And we just ask people, take it slow. Check ahead. I try to put out there as much as possible where we're going to have delays or even outright closures on roads. I do that so that people are like, I'll go a different way. Because around here, there are plenty of different ways to go. But if you do get caught in that delay, we are not trying to hold you up any more than we absolutely have to. Please be patient and respect our folks. Don't give them any grief. they've got enough to deal with right then and there.
Well, they're trying to fix the road for you.
While traffic is moving around them. I mean, I would always be distracted, like, is that car going to hit me or something? I don't know how they do what they do.
Anything going on right now alert-wise that you want folks to know about that's going on? For traffic, I imagine it's sort of paused for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's really nothing on this weekend, but there are things like, I know it's not our project, but I know over Route 55 over Neversink has been closed and people have had to use Mutton Hill Road. And I've seen on social media several residents saying, could you please slow down? Could you recognize that there's a four-way stop with stop signs there and don't just blow through it? It's just been a little disheartening to read some of that because it's like We're in Sullivan County. It's not like we're down in Manhattan where, and you can't get anywhere fast down there either. Right, but here it's like, we've got time.
There's
and
some time.
Let's relax a little bit. Unless you've got sirens and a flashing light, you shouldn't have to be zipping down 35 mile per hour roads at 55 miles an hour.
And before we go, we want to make sure we mention a great honor for some older New Yorkers that were honored in Albany. Tell us about that.
Yes. This is wonderful. We have every year a chance to nominate two folks from Sullivan County to be part of a larger group of about 100 older New Yorkers, that's 55 plus, who are honored up in Albany at a wonderful event put on by the New York State Office for the Aging. And of course, we coordinate it here through our county office for the aging. So we got to accompany these people up to Albany in mid-May. For them to be recognized, I think they got a commemorative pin, a hard copy book of biographies of them and everybody else who was honored, and of course their picture taken. But when they come back here too, we make sure that they're recognized. We had recognized them at a recent RSVP driver luncheon just to tell them how important they are. These are volunteers in our community who are 55 or much older than 55 and are still very actively involved in trying to make good things happen in the community. One of them is Elizabeth Wunner, W-U-N-N-E-R. So I think that's how it's pronounced, Wunner. And she is from Woodridge and loves delivering meals to homebound older adults. She is not homebound. Has been with our RSVP, Retired Senior Volunteer Program, for many, many years. And she takes her grandchildren with her, and I think soon will be taking her great-grandchildren with them because she says she wants them to understand the importance of caring for your neighbors. And the other honoree is our recently retired county employee, Maureen Hopper. She is a financial wizard, understands services like that. So she's a counselor in our HICAP program. That's Health Insurance Information Counseling and Assistance Program. We all know how difficult the health insurance landscape can be to navigate. Well, she makes sure that older folks who have a whole bunch of very unique and specific needs know how to navigate those complex insurance matters. And she's also on our Retired Senior Volunteer Program Advisory Council, so that she's helping chart the future course of RSVP. We are immensely proud of these people, but I would say we are even more immensely grateful that they give of their time, because we need volunteers like this to work in the community. And they're giving away valuable services for free. How wonderful is that?
Yeah. Lovely. And again, everything we've been talking about more available at the county's website, sullivanny.us. And as folks may know, we've spoken about it before, Dan Hoost wears many hats. One of them is the president of the DVAA, Delaware Valley Arts Alliance Board, and lots of activities going on there, including a kind of unique thing that you guys are doing for the first time this weekend at DVAA, the Art Flea. Can you tell folks what that's about?
Yes. And I keep telling people it's nothing to do with fleas. Don't worry about that. It's referring to flea market, garage sale, yard sale, whatever you want to call it. We are honing in on that during the Memorial Day weekend. From 10 to 4, both Saturday and Sunday, we will have, it's going to be, I think at this point, over 200 pieces of art that have been donated from people's personal private collections. And curated. We've actually taken a look at it. We're not selling anything that is going to be what would you call it, tchotchke. So, although I do love tchotchkes, but this is going to be paintings, photographs, sculptures. We are going to be displaying that at the DVAA, 37 Main Street in Narrowsburg. And we're going to ask people to take a look and maybe pick some things up as a fundraiser for the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. We will be kicking things off tonight with a First Dibs cocktail party. And cocktail party is maybe overstating it. We're going to have hot dogs that are grilled. And that we want to do something that feels like you're sort of in your backyard garage kind of thing. Okay. So we're not asking people to all dress up and raise their pinky fingers while they're drinking a cup of tea or something like that. This is going to be fun. There will be alcohol, of course, but it's 6 to 8 p.m. And you'll have your chance for, it's a $35 ticket to actually see the art first and maybe take one of those pieces before anyone else sees it.
The art,
but it's going to be fun. DVA Art Flea.
Yeah, vintage and contemporary art sale. Also on display in the galleries of at DVAA, the exhibits Tendrils, Limbs, Bellies, and Bloom by Hannah Washburn and Beauty in Breakdown by Catherine Chesters as well. And, you know, I don't know if folks realize this or not, but DVAA, you know, not only talks about what's happening at the DVAA itself, but also tries to spread the word about other arts events and happenings in the area. And your newsletter today talks about the long weekend with the arts and focuses on other community arts organizations.
We're the Arts Council of Sullivan County, and we take that very seriously. Not only do we funnel the state funds for the arts through us to all the local arts and culture organizations, but we feel very strongly about promoting them, because that's what part of our main mission is arts and culture in Sullivan County, not just to promote DVAA, but everybody else in Sullivan County and even in surrounding areas. We are happy to be part of a wonderful, creative, collaborative team of artists who really have put this area on the map for its arts and culture. I think we really are known for that.
Yeah, and you can find the information about what's going on at DVAA and all of the community arts organizations at their website, Delaware Valley Arts Alliance.org. There's a community calendar, and big applause to whoever organizes that. It's all color-coded by art form. So there's like cinema has its own color. Festival has its own color. Someone is very dedicated, and I'm kind of jealous.
They're probably kind of tired.
Thank you. Dan Hoost from Sullivan County Government and also talking about Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
You as well.
We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, river safety tips. This is Radio Chatskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
This week on Science Friday, how high-speed rail projects are making slow but steady progress.
It's certainly a whole lot better than driving by car, where there is virtually no pollution.
Plus, new cannabis classification may not help weed researchers.
We thought we're going to bring people into the lab and give them different products and see what happens. Turns out that is illegal.
All on Science Friday from WNYC Studios. Today, from 2 to 4 p.m. on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Officials are asking boaters and folks on the river to stay safe in the water as the summer recreation season kicks off this weekend. We're going to bring you a segment we aired from a couple summers ago when we interviewed former Commodore of the National Canoe Safety Patrol, Mark Magnus Sharp. The Canoe Safety Patrol patrols the Delaware from Skinner's Falls to Port Jervis, and they've been doing that for over 40 years. And the information and tips about river safety are still relevant this weekend and right now.
What we hear from the people that we rescue is a lot of overconfidence. You know, they're good people. They're just relaxing on the side of the river. And then somebody says something like, hey, I want to swim across the river. Let's do it. And boy, we all remember when we were 17 or 18 or 22 and we could just about do anything. But you get a little bit older, or a little bit younger, you catch a cramp, you know, all those things happen all the time. And before you know it, you're underwater. And thing that ties it all together, the sad thing, is that every single time we have some sad news, the person was not wearing their life jacket. They didn't have it on, or they didn't have it on right. 100% of the time, if you're wearing one, you're going to be okay, right? Somebody's going to be able to help you. You're going to keep your head above the water. So I think people just get overconfident. They don't realize whether it's alcohol that's involved or whether their body's just not the body that they remember that they had. It's the people that are fishing. It's the people that are tubing, hanging out, you know, doing like a picnic thing. It's less the people who are in a kayak or a canoe or a raft. Those people seem to start and finish with their life jackets.
I think that's surprising. I think that's news to me. I think if you had asked me, I would have assumed that it was people that were out there in the water. Of course, like you say, the people that are on the shore, I mean, they might decide to go swimming. It's not just that they happen to fall in, but I guess people could fall in too, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I remember a fisherman. Guy lives right up there and spends days upon days fishing the side of the river. And here he was, and before he knew it, he got in a little bit above his waist, and then, you know, you hit a little spot where the mud is kind of sticky, and you almost lose your shoe in it, and before he knew it, he slipped, and he was under, and I saw his hair, and I'd seen him kind of going under, so I was able to paddle over, and I literally grabbed him by his head of hair and got his head above water and held him there, and then we were able to get him to shore. And when I sat there talking with him afterwards, and he was fine, he said, you know, he just got caught off guard. What seemed so familiar to him in a split second, in the blink of an eye, turned into something that he had no ability to get out of. His shoes were full of water, so they got really heavy really fast. He was wearing some of his fishing stuff in a vest, and that to him started feeling really heavy, and all of that was pulling him down. There are a lot of currents just under the surface. You know, the upper Delaware just looks so lazy and slow, especially around any of those long eddy sorts of places. You know, you just feel like it doesn't even move. But just inches and feet below the surface, you can have currents going in two or three different directions, all of which confuses a person. They're underwater. They've not been there before.
So that old saw of still waters run deep, sometimes the waters get deeper than you expect, and they're a lot less still than they look.
That's right. And the Delaware, like most rivers, has a lot of different faces to it. You can go there in March, and the water can be raging from all the spring rains, and you can go there again in July, and you can literally see the bottom 3 feet below you. But even there, you get caught in those little sluices where the water picks up speed because it's narrow, and your foot gets trapped. It gets caught under a rock. A lot of the rocks are shaped in a way that if you step on the bottom of the river, your foot gets pushed under a rock, and all of a sudden your feet can't move, and your whole body gets pushed forward face first, and that's a pretty common scenario for drowning as well. So one thing we teach anybody who's ever on the river, if they fall out or their inner tube or boat or otherwise, do not try to stand up. Literally lay on your back, make your rear end the lowest thing, and get your feet up high out of the water so you can see your toes. And they can act like shock absorbers as you run into stuff and kind of push against rocks so that your face doesn't hit them. And then just as you float downriver with your feet up and your head up and your rear end down in the water, you can slowly make your way to the side. That's the best way to keep your feet from touching the bottom, which can get really dangerous if they get trapped under a rock.
You could just say that again real quick for people, just because that was a real interesting thing to try to keep in mind.
Well, anytime you fall into the river, and of course any situation is unique, but the general advice that works every time, besides wear your life jacket every time, is don't try to stand up in moving water. Try to get your feet up and your head up out of the water. Have your rear end kind of low, like you're sitting in a lawn chair floating down the river. And stay in that position because that keeps your feet from touching the bottom. And when they touch the bottom, sometimes they touch right where a shelf of a rock happens to be, and now your feet are trapped inside that shelf, and all your body can do is fold forward, which pushes your face underwater. And that's a drowning scenario that's pretty common. So don't stand up in a moving water situation like on the upper Delaware.
Okay, and doubling back to the main idea, as always, life jackets, life preservers. What's the actual rules or what's on the books for when they should or shouldn't be worn? And then beyond whatever the rules or regulations are, when should they be worn?
Well, you're asking me, as the Commodore of the National Canoe Safety Patrol, we have a 41-year record of doing rescues on the upper Delaware, and we've never lost anybody when we were on patrol. So my advice, representing all of our organizational members, is always wear your life jacket. Some of us have been ocean lifeguards, like me. Some of us have swum competitively for swim teams. There's a lot of reasons that you can get overconfident and cocky. And I've heard the kids who we pulled out of the river swimming across it just 3 weeks ago, and they caught a cramp, and they were floating and screaming for help because they couldn't make it across. They both told us, we're swimmers. We were on the swim team at our school. We thought we could handle it. So the number one piece of advice is always wear a life jacket. It works. It keeps your head above the water. And it's not enough to just have it in your boat somewhere, because the minute your boat flips, you can't find your life jacket. You're sitting there trying to find your loved one that was in the boat, or you're trying to grab your child that was in the boat. You've forgotten where your life jacket was. So just have it on, zipped and tied, and that way you don't even have to think about it.
And you're saying not, and you're saying even if you're not in a boat, if you're doing anything where you're going to put yourself in the water, even if you're just on the edge of the water, you should be prepared and have that life jacket on.
You know, that's what I do. I can hear plenty of your listeners on the radio going, that sounds like overkill. Well, it turns out if you look at the drownings on the upper Delaware over the last few years, most all of those drownings happened by people that were on the side of the river and then decided to go in for a swim. So that's why we give that advice. If you're deciding to go in, why not just slip on the life jacket? It's comfortable enough, and the good news is it'll keep you safe.
Is there any difference between the different types of watercraft, meaning a kayak, a canoe, a boat, a raft, a tube? Is there really, are any of those more risky or should be avoided, or are they all okay if you're wearing your jacket?
That's a great question. I would say that a raft, because it's rubber and it's big and it's bouncy, is really safe. I worry less about people in rafts when I'm out on patrol than I do about people in canoes and kayaks. Most of the time, the paddlers on the river are tourists. They've never paddled that raft, that canoe, that kayak. They're just renting it for the day. So they're meeting a new piece of equipment, and they've never even learned how to turn it or to move it in the right direction. So a hard boat made out of plastic or made out of aluminum or fiberglass like a kayak or a canoe has very little forgiveness to it. It's going to ram into a rock or wrap right around it if the water and the current are strong enough. They fill up with water. Water weighs about 8 pounds a gallon. So all of a sudden, a canoe or a kayak that weighed 70 or 80 pounds suddenly starts weighing 400 to 600 pounds when it's full of water. And that's a really dangerous situation for somebody who doesn't know that boat. It's an even dangerous situation for somebody who's had that canoe behind their house right there. They live upstream of, you know, Berryville, and they finally get that urge. They got family coming into town. Let's pull that old canoe off the rack. Let's go paddling. Just 3 weeks ago, a gentleman who had an old aluminum Grumman canoe, a beautiful boat, about 30 years old, and he brought his family who came to visit out on the boat, and that boat stuck in Chihola Rapid for about 2 days, wrapped against a rock. And his exact words to me were, I was just scared for my life and for my family. And when we got to the side of shore, thanks to the help of the folks that were there, we left our boat. I didn't want to go back out to try to get it.
Wow.
Because it had wrapped around that rock. I was scared to death for my life. So rafts, inner tubes, they're a lot safer because they bounce off of things and you can hold on to them pretty easy.
Where can people find out more information about the National Canoe Safety Patrol?
We invite anyone of any ability to join us May 1st and 2nd of every year, so 2021, May 1st and 2nd, right at Luke's Landing, upstream of Berryville, for our spring training. You can go to nationalcanoesafetypatrol.life and learn all about us. It's one word, National Canoe Safety Patrol. And you can send a comment to me right there on that website.
And again, that was an encore conversation of Jason Dole with former Commodore of the National Canoe Safety Patrol, Mark Magnus Sharp, about river safety. There's up-to-date information at nationalcanoesafetypatrol.org. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. The Delaware Youth Center is an independent nonprofit that served Calicoon and neighboring towns for over 70 years. Tomorrow, there's a benefit at the Youth Center called the Groove and Grub Festival, and it's being co-organized by Henry Simon. Henry is a Sullivan West senior, and he's here to tell us about it. Henry, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about this fundraiser. This is actually a project of yours and a friend of yours, a co-senior at the National Honor Society.
Correct, yeah. So Grant Gore and I are both seniors at Sullivan West, and we decided that we wanted to do something interesting for our community service project rather than just a litter pickup as that we usually do. And so I turned to him and I went, hey, let's do live music and food. And he went, that sounds cool.
So the live music and food is going to be at the Youth Center tomorrow, 1 to 5. Tell folks about what they can expect.
So there's a $15 suggested admission. Everything is donation with the exception of food. And, you'll walk in. It's in the back of the, property where there's outdoor seating and bands will be under the halls. There's a number of, local bands and musicians such as Little Sparrow, the Matt Albeck Trio and Poison Love, as well as smaller acts, like the Sullivan West Senior High Select Choir, Sam Quick, Callie Seastrand, and Carmine Gantz.
Yeah, so why did you guys decide to do a benefit for the Youth Center? Did you use the Youth Center as a youth?
Yes, as a kid, I went and I swam there, and I used their summer program. I currently work there, and my mom is on the board there. So, we were thinking of doing a larger charity, and then we realized, hey, let's do something local and support something that gives back every year with the tractor parade and the, Halloween parade, craft fair, this and that.
Yeah, the Youth Center is, like, as I said, they've been serving the area for over 70 years, a great place for kids and adults. This is, as you mentioned, your National Honor Society project. To explain to people what this is. I mean, the National Honor Society requires like a service project, right?
Yeah. So, when you get inducted into the National Honor Society, they have a few requirements after you've met their, grade point average requirements and your hours. You have to get 5 hours of community service every year, on top of which you have to do a project like that. You organize yourself and you write a proposal, and that proposal gets approved, and then you have to do a write-up afterwards. And it's a great way to get students to give back to the community without begging and pleading.
Exactly. And again, so that's tomorrow, the Groove and Grub Festival at the Youth Center right there in Calicoon. And it's from 1 to 5, food, music, and fun. What kind of food are you going to have?
So my partner in all this, Grant, he is making pulled pork, mac and cheese, coleslaw, cornbread, and then we have some hot dogs as well.
Is that why you're here and Grant's not? He's cooking somewhere?
He's actually at a track meet Goshen.
Oh, wow. So. Oh, my gosh. You guys are doing it all. As Sullivan West seniors, this is really cool. And as I mentioned, you're a senior, so you means you're graduating soon. And yeah. What's next for you?
I will be going to college. He and I both will be going to college. I'll be going to the University of Vermont in Burlington, and he's going to SUNY Binghamton.
Wow. No, we know you from being a part of Little Sparrow. Folks, if you've recognized the young man up there with the group, that's Henry, and you can see him tomorrow. We have had you volunteer with us here as well, and glad that you're doing this service opportunity for what a great nonprofit in the area, the Delaware Youth Center.
Well, I I just had to. And thank you guys for, you know, interviewing me and giving a little.
Of course. Of course. It's a great thing. Listen, you're doing a good thing. I mean, you're, you know, I was out selling candy bars. You're doing like a whole festival making, making things happen there. All right. Henry Simon from Sullivan West Senior and from Little Sparrow. He's going to be there tomorrow at the Youth Center for the Groove and Grub Festival. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Quick break and some more activities that are happening this weekend, this time at New Memories in Parksville. We'll find out all about it right after this break. This is Radio Chatsco.
Radio Catskill's Music Yard Sale is tomorrow, 9 to 3, here at Radio Catskill. Come get music, vinyl records, CDs, tapes, and more. Get audio equipment, turntables, stereos, and tape decks, and get something to eat. Korean-inspired street food for sale from Bim Bim Bus. Don't miss the Music Yard Sale tomorrow, 9 to 3, here at our studios on Route 52 in Liberty.
The mixtape's all about eclectic music, compiled with love, like an old-school mixtape. I'm Jason Tuga, and every Friday night, it's my aim to bring you something special, a unique mix of music you wouldn't hear anywhere else. You can count on hearing a diverse range of artists, eras, genres, and vibes. The mixtape, an hour of music assembled by me just for you, Friday night.
Friday night at 7, on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. This weekend at New Memories in Parksville, they're taking advantage of the long weekend with a plethora of events. And here to tell us more are Jamie Helper and Ali Azios of New Memories. Good morning.
Good morning.
So plethora was a word I learned on my SAT back in the day. So you've got a lot of stuff going on. There's a spring bazaar, a film screening, music event. Tell us, where do you want to start?
I guess we'll start with the bazaar because that starts at 11 a.m. on Saturday and goes till 5. And it's going to be really fun. We have a lot planned. A lot of people, a lot of artists are going to be there, and a lot of people, makers. And then we have a film screening, and that starts at 5:30. And at 7 p.m., live music starts, and we have four bands.
All right, let's go back to the bazaar. What kind of could we expect? Is it people from all over the area, mainly local folks, different types of wares?
Yes, mainly local folks, and there is anything from photographs to prints to paintings to sculptures and ceramics.
Clothing.
We have plants.
Lots of plants.
We have artisans that make handmade skincare products. We have a lot of young artists coming from the Black Library in Monticello, and I think they'll be bringing some prints and some clothing as well. We have a wonderful photography exhibit by Les Stone, and it's going to be amazing.
Wow.
He has amazing photographs.
Yeah, Les is a really talented professional photographer. That's amazing. What is the film? Tell us about the film.
It's several films, a lot of short films. We have about 10 short films. They range in time from like 15 minutes to 1 minute long. And they also range in genre from sort of documentary to
weird.
Very weird. Yeah.
I think that's a category.
Yes.
I think I saw that at the Oscars. So what's sort of the weird subject matter? Can you tell us a little bit about that or a little preview?
Is Elizabeth's film in there?
Oh, yes.
There's murder. There's mystery.
I mean, come on. Wouldn't be a bazaar without some murder and mysteries. So you got a film festival, and that's all tomorrow as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And then what else is happening this weekend?
On Sunday, we also have the bazaar. We won't have another film festival and another live music set, but we do have the bazaar from 11 to 4.
All right. And so, yeah.
I'm sorry. So the live music is at 7. It starts at 7 o'clock after the film festival. Memories it's a really, really large space. Yeah. So we have different areas. So the films are in one area. The live music is in another area. And the vendors are throughout the whole building.
Yeah. So can you tell us some of the music acts that are going to be there?
Sure.
Yeah. We have Pond Wave. We have Chinchillas.
We have me. Jamie.
Yay.
Jamie Smith. I have an EP that I'll be performing. And after that, Ambient Barn. Well, you.
We know Ambient Barn.
Yeah.
Mark Partridge.
Yeah. It's going to be a nice vibe. Just really good musicians. Some of it is lyrical. Some of it is musical. But just a nice chill vibe. I think it will. It goes well with the whole
Experience
yeah,
that you tried to create.
Yeah,
so let's talk about this experience. You know, I mean, there are a lot of activities going on this weekend, and we're even having our own yard sale tomorrow, which I can barely get together. You guys are doing multiple events, film, music, bazaar, artisans. So you're tackling a big endeavor here. Why did you decide to go big, go all out this weekend?
Well, it seems like every time we do something, we kind of go all out and go big.
It's the new memories way, you know? It's kind of like that feeling, like when you have this big space and you just want to fill it. And there's so many opportunities to do so many things there that every time we get together, we just want to explore it all. And we have so many friends that are artists, and everybody is multi-genre. We all make things. We all make music. We all make film. We all make art. And we just want to share it. And it's a great vibe, and it's a great group of people, and everybody's welcome. We have young, old, just everybody. Everybody's welcome. Everybody has a good time, and there's always something for everybody.
It sounds like it's a great a group of people that just somehow all get together in this one place because of all the things you want to contribute. Mm-hmm. And it happens. I mean, I know it's organized, but it seems like it happens a little organically too. It's like,
yeah.
I'm sure maybe it started out as a bazaar, and then it's like, well, what about a film festival? Oh, wait, let's add some music. And it's really cool that you guys are able to do all of this. Let's remind folks where it's happening and when it's happening. And let's go back through a few of the names of folks that are going to participate as well.
Okay. So it starts tomorrow, Saturday, and the bazaar starts at 11. And that will go till 5, and then at 5:30 there is the short film screening, and at 7 is when the live music starts. Some of the bands are, as I said, Pondwave. They're kind of an eclectic ambient sound band, and Chinchillas is a surf rock. Sort of like a surf garage rock
cool.
spy
yeah.
kind of like sound. And Jamie Smith is like a lyrical truth sayer. And Ambient Barn is electronic, like ambient music.
Mark exploring the world of all things ambient electronic. You can hear his show here at 11 p.m. Sunday nights as well. But check him out this weekend at New Memories. Is there information on Facebook, Instagram, website?
Yes, on Instagram, it's New Memories Parksville USA is the Instagram. Yeah. And then, on Sunday, we're also having the bazaar as well. But the address for New Memories is 862 Parksville Road.
And for folks who've been around for a long time, it's that Memories Antiques Mall that's off of 17 that you may have remember. Now it's New Memories. You guys are recreating it into a really cool destination.
Also, the Double Dutch Bus will be open selling food.
You can't
correct?
Can't forget food.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ali Azios and Jamie. I have you down as Jamie Helper, or is it Jamie Smith?
Well, Jamie Helper is my government name. Okay. And Jamie Smith is
your
my artist name. My former government name.
Okay, got it. We thank you both for being here, and have a great long weekend with all the events at New Memories.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All
Thanks
right.
for having us.
That is going to do it for this edition of Radio Chatskill. You can hear the show and all of our local programming at our website, wjffradio.org. Also, check out the community calendar for all of the great events and activities that are happening this long weekend, and including all of the Memorial Day remembrance events that are happening in Sullivan County as well. WJFFradio.org. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from The Furniture Restore, located on Main Street in Jeffersonville, specializing in antique and vintage furniture, rugs, art, and lighting, because buying well-made and pre-owned is a better choice for the planet. Winter hours online at therestorejville.com. And from The River Reporter, the community newspaper serving four counties along the Delaware River in Pennsylvania and New York, riverreporter.com, and from listeners like you.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we've got interviews that will put a couple of great books on your summer reading list. We're talking about the poetry of food and the life of the legendary Judith Jones, who brought Julia Child back to America. That's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill. Today's weather, mostly sunny, very warm, high near 80, clear, low 49 tonight. And then for the weekend, 81 Saturday, 82 Sunday, a thunderstorm tomorrow afternoon possible. And then Monday cools down, only 67 for the high, showers and a much heavier thunderstorm, especially in the evening expected.